for 12/21/2011. It's a Super PAX Slam on Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Wes.
Wes is filling in for Riff. Riff is out in the mountains. Riff is living in a tree.
He's decided to become Amish.
And he's decided to become an angel. And so he's living on top of a tree in a wintry forest.
I thought he was dancing on the head of a pin.
That too. He's in the outfield. come on, guys. What else? He's with insects.
There's some sort of sports team that's the Angels.
Angel Ball. They're an Angel Ball team. He's out making balls angels.
Huh.
That's where you teabag the ground in the shape of an angel.
Yeah, how come I never see any sand angels?
Because you get all dirty. So, I mean, you never see any sewage angels either. You're like, oh, hey, the other guys at the sewage treatment plant, like, let's go make sewage angels, guys. No. That was just a thing we made you do when you were the new guy. How's it going? What have you guys been up to?
So we took a week off.
Yeah, I got sick. I got a little bit of smuggler.
Tauritis.
I got the smuggler fever.
But the irony is that you were on like hardcore antibiotics before you got sick.
That's true. I was sick because I'm being treated for every simultaneous STD.
Yeah,
that's how pimpin' I am. But yeah, no, I was already sick, and then I got my access to the Old Republic, and so I was just like, you know what, guys, I'm gonna stay at home and eat a lot of Halls cough drops, a lot of chloroseptics.
I accidentally ate one of your Chicken and Stars cans.
Well, next time I get sick, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Ah, it's soothing.
The home-style chicken noodle is where it's at. Yeah.
Nope.
So much better.
Whatever it is that you had when you were a kid that makes you comfortable is where it's at for making you comfortable. Here's what you do when you're sick, if you're me. You, for every meal, of which you have maybe five or six a day.
When you're sick.
Yeah. Okay. You eat, you make a can of Campbell's Chicken and Stars soup.
Okay.
In a bowl. You microwave it for 3 minutes in my microwave.
Oh, wow.
That's how long you microwave it.
You don't put it on the stove?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that ruins it. That breaks down all the tannins, and you lose all the nutrition.
All right.
Anyway, then you get an entire tube of Ritz crackers. You drop three of them in, salty side down. You dunk them with the spoon and eat them in the same order you drop them in there.
Okay.
Yep. And then you finish the soup, and then that cures you.
Do you have to eat the entire tube with one can?
Entire tube with one bowl of soup.
Oh my God, that's a lot of Ritz crackers.
Yeah. But that's how you get better. It's a magic spell.
Salt and carbs. That's the secret.
That's what you need. That's what you need when you have a cold.
Okay.
No, it's like the magic spell for getting rid of chapped lips. You put on Carmex and then take a shower.
What?
It just cures your chapped lips. Try it. Next time your lips are chapped, put on a dose of Carmex, take a shower, and then when you get out, you're like, fuck. Zach was right.
Huh. I don't ever use any of those sealant products. I just lick my lips and then dry them off with my hand.
That
makes
gross.
It worse.
You're going to get
it. It honestly does not.
They say it makes it worse.
They're wrong.
Do you also blow your nose on your hand and get impetigo?
I think the problem is that people don't know how to either lick their lips or wipe them off.
Really? People don't know how to lick their lips.
Like, one of those two things.
This is a thing that you've discovered.
I have not discovered it. I'm just saying that I think that that's what people do wrong.
What do you do when you have a cold, Wes?
I don't get sick.
Oh,
really?
Never? You literally never get
that's
sick.
That's awesome.
That's
hardly
how you
ever,
avoid this.
Hardly ever.
I'm currently sick, so.
Yeah.
But I don't have the Old Republic, so I'm coming to work.
Well, yeah, but you played 2 entire minutes of Skyrim.
That is true. Yeah,
that's what you did with your illness.
Help me recuperate. I've been this past week or so. I've been helping my girlfriend prep for her psychology internship interviews. She's like traveling all around the country for the next month, trying to get a job for next year.
So you've been asking her questions about how you feel. How do you feel you would do here with these children? How many of these children do you think would commit suicide if you were the person responsible for stopping these children from committing suicide?
I mean, I ask her questions like what is the give me a time that you've lied to your boyfriend? Explain to me.
How many times have you cheated on your boyfriend in the last 6 months? What would you say is the best and worst properties of your boyfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting, like trying to trip her up, trying to like
kind of
fluster
her. Can you tell us about
one
time when you failed your boyfriend?
What are the ways in which you could improve in your relationship with your boyfriend? Yeah, so it's been fun quizzing her on like...
cute quizzing her?
It's been fun and cute.
Oh, I see. I thought you were like a cute quiz is what, no. Like this is what they do in psychology. They feel like an interview is not, it's not inclusive enough.
Right.
So they've switched to the cute quiz model.
They might have. I'm not up on all the lingo. But yeah, it's been, that's what I've spent a lot of my time doing.
And getting her, probably making her travel arrangements too.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you, since you do that for me, I'm assuming that you do that for everyone that you know.
I help her with it. She was taking it under her own power though. She got her own, US Airways credit card so that she could get extra miles and stuff.
The only time I ever did anything with frequent flyer miles, I just got fucked so hard by the airline that I was just like, you know what? I'm never touching this shit again. I saw an article today about how you can convert some sort of frequent flyer miles into some sort of Amtrak. Just some sort of Amtrak waste of money, I think.
Is the idea that you can use your frequent flyer miles to get further?
Yeah. Although, I don't know why you would, because it seems like for the cost of a single plane ticket anywhere, you could literally go everywhere on Amtrak. And it would take the rest of your life to get there.
Yeah. With the US Air credit card, the threshold for getting a ticket is lower. So instead of like 25,000
really?
Miles.
So you can only go like six over before they'll give you a ticket?
Instead of 25,000 miles to get a ticket, it only costs 20,000, okay. Which is, you know, pretty significant savings, 20% savings on miles.
Wait, what are you so important that you gotta travel that many miles? That's what I never understood about the frequent flyer miles.
You've probably got plenty of miles.
Yeah, sure, but I'm really important. I'm asking what other people, people who aren't me, what do they got to do that's so fucking important? Nothing. Why don't they get out of my way, is what I always say.
That's made you a lot of friends in Lions.
Sure. I'm as popular as I am important.
You're a linear populist.
What have you been up to, Wes?
Well, we started celebrating the Christmas season last night with the in-laws. We went to a...
I think you're thinking of Hanukkah.
No.
That's, I thought that started tonight.
I don't know.
Is today the first day of Hanukkah?
Yeah.
I was looking on the calendar. There's a calendar in the office. We got a free calendar from the place where we order our pint glasses and whatnot printed, and I'll let you finish your story. so it's a obscure holiday of the month calendar.
Oh yeah, that is where we got a pint glasses.
So then it says, did you know that National Dress Up Your Pet Day is in January, but then it doesn't fucking tell you which day it is.
It's because it's not a real day. It's all made up holidays.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So they took a thing that was like interesting factoid of the day calendar, but then they just made it up.
I think what they did was found interesting, like sort of funny stock photos that they could print at high resolution on this calendar and made up a holiday to go along with.
This is really filling me with confidence in this company to manage our printing affairs.
We also got a bad kitten calendar from our from the company where we get all our like boxes and shipping
supplies. From the company where we get all of our Hall & Oates seeds, which we also got for free, having ordered $150 worth of. I think Patrick went around asking if anybody else in the office needed anything because we were just below the threshold for the free Hall & Oates CD.
Yeah. next order, he says, has to be over $250.
Oh, so what do we get for that?
I don't know. It's the next tier of... I think there's a whole new tier of
like a
rewards.
Limited edition Xanadu poster.
Maybe.
Like a pair of roller skates. Old school roller skates that you have to clip onto your shoes with a key.
Yeah.
How was Christmas with your in-laws?
Yeah, your
or Hanukkah.
Early Christmas.
Oh, it was nice. We went to a restaurant downtown that... Rachel and I would never be able to afford to eat at.
Oh, yeah. So for cool. For careful listeners, you may have already met...
Noted lady Rachel Bess from Advice Hot Dog is my wife.
You might ask a lady. Might ask a lady in the future. Rachel provides me with chickens. Wes provides me with animation. See, this is...
Sometimes
I like to,
of chickens.
I like to evaluate the world in terms of what different people can give me.
lot of it is blowjobs.
Yeah, a lot of it. I mean, that's about three quarters of the people that I meet. That's the primary possibility that's going on. Let's see. My only note was about that calendar.
Yeah, that's what you've been up to.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to is getting angry that it didn't actually tell me which day was Dress Up Your Pet Day. Because now how am I supposed to know? You know what day is Dress Up Your Pet Day? No days.
Live your life like every day is Dress Up Your Pet Day. Exactly.
Okay. Let's show what week is Shark Week? It doesn't matter if you live with the right kind of intensity.
Exactly.
You got anything else going on? It seems like a lot would have happened in the last couple of weeks, because it's been a couple of weeks.
I mean, I got sick. I got a new computer, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, it's super. I didn't realize how slow my old computer had gotten. It was from 2007, so it's like it was a laptop from 4 years ago, and
Astute listeners will be able to deduce that this podcast is being recorded in 2011.
So this new laptop is amazing. It is, everything just starts immediately and like does what I want it to do and then shuts down immediately, as opposed to like 5 minute waits between each operation, which I had gotten accustomed to. I was like, I guess this is how long it takes to start up an application.
Five minutes.
Yeah.
That seemed reasonable. Want to run Photoshop, huh? 5 minutes.
Yeah. Every time
somebody sends you an instant message.
I print out like a, you know, sort of like a reminder list for us for the show. And that would take five. I would hit print. 5 minutes later, it would print.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All the lights in the office dim.
Yeah.
Do that too. Well, you've got some weird like Industrial Revolution era printer that just draws all of the power. From our steam engine. We have to have the guy downstairs shovel in extra coal.
Yeah.
All right.
I also got a new iPhone.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
Oh, it's great. It's so great.
You asked Siri the other day at the bar. We convinced you to ask Siri, get me some poontang. Yeah. And it called our friend Jason.
It just started dialing my friend.
Without asking.
Yeah.
What's weird is that I heard you using it today, and it asked you permission Google search something. But it doesn't ask you permission to just call one of your friends in the middle of the fucking night.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That guy's not going to give you any poontang.
I mean, maybe it knows something we don't.
Maybe he's a pimp.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a stable.
That was when I texted him and said what had happened, he's like, well, clearly Siri knows more about me than you do.
Yeah. Well, I just thought he was implying that he had both sets.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't, huh.
Well, cause I mean, you know.
He's a married man.
That's really the ideal situation if you want some poontang, right? Is a guy that can give it to you. Because then he won't want to cuddle afterwards.
Huh.
You guys been playing any video games?
I have.
What have you been playing, Les?
I've been playing a lot of Sea of Heroes.
Okay.
It's been kind of my mainstay for a couple months now since they went free. But
have you been enjoying that?
When did that happen? When did they go free?
2 or 3 months back, I think.
Okay. A
couple months.
It's fairly recent.
Yeah, fairly recent.
How are you liking it? This is like the only MMO you've ever played, right?
Well, I did try... it was the first MMO I tried, and I played it pretty regularly for a while, and then I quit. And fairly recently, I tried World of Warcraft.
Oh, right, because they're like free up to level 20 now, huh?
Yeah. And I just couldn't get into it.
Huh.
But
are you more of a superheroes guy than a swords and sorcery guy?
Definitely.
Okay.
I'm a big comic book nerd.
Okay, but not that kind of, not like an ElfQuest nerd.
Right. Okay. But for Black Friday, they did a deal where you can pay 99 cents and get full access to the game for a month. So I did that. And
what does it normally cost?
15, 16.
A month?
Yeah.
Huh. So they kept their original subscription price for their like premium stuff. What does it unlock?
It unlocks a lot. I mean, a lot more than I thought was actually in there. Because when I had initially played it, it was a long time ago, and they didn't have anywhere near as much going for it as they do now. But there's some character classes that you can't play, and there's...
Are they new classes from launch, or did they just, like, when you go free-to-play, you only get, like, two classes available instead of four, or what?
There were four, right? There's controllers and masterminds.
Okay.
Which means you have a lot of pets and stuff.
Sure.
And,
I think that was one of the four, because there was, like, Scrapper, Blaster, Controller, and Brute.
Defender.
Defender? I don't know if I remember that one.
And, the tank class. I don't remember what the tank class was. But yeah, they, when City of Villains launched, they added a couple more classes. And, and I had stopped playing by the time that happened. But when I restarted with the free service, they had all of the really cool classes were pay only. So I've been
when you say really cool, do you mean like just like thematically better or like actually stronger or more interesting?
The ones that you can make look exactly like Wolverine.
No, you can do that with the free stuff. I mean, cool because maybe it's just because it was forbidden before and I just really wanted to play it. But there's a class called the Mastermind where you get, depending on what kind, you can have like zombie henchmen or cool. mercenary henchmen.
Get like the little clockwork dudes to attack people?
No, I don't think they have that.
Ah, mm. That sucks.
But there is a...
Emmett Brown.
There's a storyline where you can get... As like a temporary power, you can get some clockwork guys.
No, that's cool.
Summon them. And
I was like beating those guys up. Yeah. I kind of didn't want to. I was kind of like, oh, little guy, let's be buddies. They're like, no, we're going to mug this woman. Like, okay, fine. Although they weren't mugging people, they were always fucking with the air conditioner, like on the roof. Like,
yeah,
sorry,
dismantling air conditioners.
It is too warm in this building.
That's what they do. Yeah. But there's actually a whole zone that you can't play in as a free character. It's like an alternate universe where it's dystopia, which is right up my alley, and I've been getting a big kick out of that.
Did you pay them, is what you're saying?
A dollar.
Yeah, I paid them the 99 cents to get access to everything.
That's
for a month.
All they wanted was a
for one,
dollar.
For one.
It was like a promotional thing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That Black Friday, man. You think they would have done that on Cyber Monday?
Well, I mean, it was, I think they kept it up for like a week
Black Friday
or something.
To Cyber Monday. What do you call that?
Viagra dysfunction?
Black Cyber Monday. Are you just listing words?
No. If you keep it up for the entire weekend.
Gotcha.
Okay. Priapism weekend. Call your doctor immediately.
Yeah.
Well, call him on Monday because he's busy.
Yeah.
He's busy playing City of Heroes and golf.
Yeah.
At the same time, he has a golf club with a tablet PC in it. What else?
There's a cool little Flash game called Infestor that was made by the same guy that did that
Random Heroes.
Random Heroes, yeah.
Is Infestor the one that's like there's a bunch of people walking around on the screen and you
I
click on...
I think you're
on...
thinking of Infectionator.
Okay, yeah, that is what I'm thinking of. All right, I've not seen Infestor then.
Well, you're like this little blob and it's all pixel art and all chiptunes, which I really like that whole aesthetic. But you've got your little blob and you can't do a whole hell of a lot with just the blob, but you can, there's a bunch of people on the screen and you basically take over them. You like jump on their head and then it's got your little blob where the guy's head used to be.
Oh, right. And like the basic guy can like jump higher than you can or whatever.
There's like one guy that can jump far and there's another guy that can open doors and there's another guy with a gun and there's another guy with a jetpack. And it's just like a platformer puzzly kind of thing, and it's a lot of fun. It's not super challenging, and I wish there were more levels, but it's a good game. It's definitely worth checking out.
I wonder if there's a good balance between having like enough levels that you feel satisfied playing something, and like too many levels where it's overwhelming. Because like there are games now like Angry Birds or whatever, where if you were to buy it now, the like dollar app or whatever would have 400 levels.
Hmm.
And maybe that's awesome, or maybe that's like, oh my God, that's way too many levels, right? Like, and I could see people having sort of either reaction to it, depending on.
I would definitely rather have too many levels than not enough.
Yeah, not everybody feels the way that you do, where they're like, oh, 400 levels, huh? That's 400 times three. I'm not going to do the math right now, but that's 400 times three stars I have to collect if I can get 3 stars per level.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got something seriously wrong with you in the head, Kevin.
Yeah, they released another little expansion pack, and I'm playing through it. And
for
it is
Angry Fucking Birds?
Angry Birds, yeah. And it is really hard. Like, this one, unlike all the other expansion packs, is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
There are, like, 4 levels that it has taken me a significant amount of time to get 3 stars on. I don't know what the
fuck. Is there an achievement for, like, driving a nail into your thumb?
Yeah, you have to use your phone to
you
hit
the
nail.
You have the camera turned on so that they know.
Yeah,
they have to verify that it's your thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything else on that list, Wes?
Yeah, there's something I discovered fairly recently, but obviously I'm not the first one to discover it. It's a game called Realm of the Mad God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like Gauntlet, but it's all pixel art. And,
right, but it's like an MMO. Like like you're in a big world with a bunch of other people, and it's like a shooty. Yeah, it's like MMO Gauntlet, sort of.
Except you're not constrained by a dungeon. I mean, you got this whole world, and then you can go into dungeons and stuff, and your guys level up, and you can find all kinds of cool gear, and it's a lot of fun.
It seems like a lot of it was randomly generated. when I was looking at it.
It might be that way. I'm not sure.
But I mean, you know, it's fine, right? Like at that sort of level of resolution, like you can do that pretty easily. I remember like killing some pirates in some sort of pirate cave.
Yeah, if you kill like a certain number of pirates or these cube things, then a cave will just appear and you go into the pirate cave and got to fight the Blackbeard super pirate guy. And
you like unlock new classes as it goes, and you can also, I guess, just buy. I think they have some kind of microtransaction thing on Congregate where you can buy, I don't know.
You can buy extra character slots, and you can buy more storage for the loot that you find because you only have a very limited amount.
Yeah, your inventory is like 8 slots or something.
Huh.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's like potions, but then potion, I don't know.
But I like it enough that I think I'm going to throw them some money and buy some of that stuff. But
yeah,
The only drawback to the game is that once you die, that's it. Your character's done. So if you spend like hours and hours on a character and he dies, you got to start all over again.
Huh.
Which is really infuriating.
Fascinating.
That's a little surprising. I mean, unless there were like, what was that game? There was a game with, you know, it was like the same sort of pixel art style, but there were like hundreds of classes that you could unlock. You'd play and you'd jump around, and there was like every time you killed a monster, you got the ability to restart the game as that monster. You know the game that I'm talking about.
I'm having a hard time remembering which one it was.
Like, I guess it was hardcore.
Super small.
Yeah, yeah. You were like tiny. The characters were all like 5x5 pixels or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah, this is a cool segment where we talk about this game that we don't remember the name of. Yeah, I did not realize that it was like permadeath.
Yep.
If like every time you played, you were unlocking a new class that was significantly more powerful than other classes that you'd unlocked, then I could see that being a thing. You know, like if this is permadeath, but you like are never playing the same class twice.
Sure.
You know.
Well, they've got a thing where there's just like a little icon that you can click. If you know the heat's on, you can just click that and it'll teleport you back to home base. So if you're paying attention, there's no excuse for you to ever really die. But you know, you get caught up in a big fight or something, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's rough.
But also, I mean, if you lose connection with the server or something, right? I feel like that was always the thing that stopped me from playing hardcore in Diablo 2 is that like pretty regularly I would get killed because I got disconnected from Battle.net. You know, and it's like if that happened to a hardcore character, I would just be like, fuck this game. I don't even care about your eagles. Longsword of the Eagle. No number of eagles is enough to get me coming back after that shit. Even if there was like a full on eagles reunion, and they played Desperado, but they were looking at me the whole time they were singing it.
When is Diablo 3 coming out?
We don't know yet, do we?
I don't know.
I don't think they've announced it. They never announce release dates for anything.
In fact, everything's already been released. No, nobody knows.
Maybe they were supposed to.
Why is nobody playing our game?
They were trying really hard to get it out by the end of this year, right. And then said that they weren't going to. So I have to imagine that means
January or February.
Yeah, February or March is what I was going to say. Or March or April. Anybody else want to list some months that happen early in the year? That's pretty fun.
January or March.
Okay, sure, sure. April or February. Sweet segment, guys. What else?
That's about it for me.
That was it?
Yeah.
What about you, Kevin? You played like 1 minute each of 100 games.
I got my new computer, and on that computer, I installed a Windows partition. So that is going to allow me to have a lot more flexibility in the games I can play in the future.
In the spyware that you can get.
That's true.
Does that work all right with the, I mean, is it like doing the...
Boot camp is what I ended up doing. And it works fucking great.
Does Arlie Ermey scream at you?
No. But it is,
Maybe the reason that it is running awesome. So fast is that Arlie Ermey is constantly disparaging it for being a queer.
I went back and I installed Deus Ex, the original one, because I'd never finished that, so I want to go back and finish that. I was playing that on crossover games.
200 more hours.
On my Mac. I mean, it's going to 40 or 50 probably. So I was playing that over crossover games, and that was always kind of a little flaky and hard to, not unreliable. And then I installed QuickBooks Pro, which isn't really a game.
Yeah.
But you can make it into a game. Yeah. You can make it into a how much money can you save the company with shady dealings
that's
game.
That's true.
In hardcore mode, though. The first time you get one star of police attention, we all go to jail.
What else? Oh, and then I got Skyrim. I downloaded Skyrim and turned it on for 2 minutes. And then my girlfriend was like, oh, don't play Skyrim. And I was like, fine. And so that was it.
She just meant don't play Skyrim right now.
She kind of meant ever, but
yeah, I don't even remember the last time a lady told me not to play a video. I mean, always. That literally always happens. Am I right, fellas? That's what the ladies do, is they just are always trying to get you to stop playing video games.
I
come raise your
I'm going to take it as a challenge to see if I can play this game in a way that does not just
in a way that she doesn't know about it.
Well, effectively, right? Like in a way that does not impact our relationship at all, right? Mm-hmm. That seems like a reasonable goal.
Here's what you should do. You should hide your laptop behind a pornographic magazine so that when she looks at you, it looks like you're just reading, sluts with butts or whatever. That's a thing about ladies in pornography, right? Like sometimes people have a girls with butts fetish.
Because most of them don't have it, so it's. Ladies. So I played 2 minutes of Deus Ex. I played 2 minutes of Skyrim, which means I did not even
kill any dragons.
Did not even get through the initial cinematic thing.
You didn't get any Dutch people yelling at you.
I tried. This is before I got my new computer. I tried playing Bastion in Chrome, and like it took half an hour to load each level.
Nice.
So I played like the first half of the first level and was like, okay, fuck this.
Was the narration really slow?
Once it loaded, it ran fine. It was just, it took a long, long time to actually load and prep the thing. On iOS, I played, in addition to the new Angry Birds levels, there were 60 new Crossfingers levels.
Like 60 new ones?
Yeah.
Since the second batch of new levels. Yeah. Okay. That is a game where there are so many levels that I kind of just walked away from.
I love it. They're awesome.
Some of them are really awesome. And then there are some that are a style of puzzle that are just too hard for me to solve.
Really?
Readily. And then there are some that it's like, all right, I see exactly what I have to do here. And now I just have to do it fucking 30 times in a row.
With this patch, they gave you five free stars if you quote download another game of theirs unquote or whatever, but all you have to do is click the button. It doesn't know if you download it or not, and you get five free stars. So that would be five levels that you could skip if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't skip a level.
You, if you wanted to, if you're stuck.
No, because I might need to skip them on one that I can't actually solve in the future. So I'm not going to skip a level that I just don't want to be arsed to solve.
I really like Crossfingers.
I'm going to skip a level that I don't want B. Arthur to solve.
I think that is a fantastic use of the touchscreen technology. I think that's one of the most sort of interesting and like compelling games.
It's like a game from 1996 that we only just discovered recently.
From iOS 0.005. Let's see. And then Mage Gauntlet got a major update where they made a lot of the levels easier. I had been stuck on the base of the tower.
Wait, did Arlie Army promote the update to major?
Yes. I'd been stuck on the base of the like final tower for like 3 or 4 weeks and just was making no progress. And then they did the update and I beat that one and now I'm stuck at the top of the tower. The levels are really long. The enemies are really hard compared to the rest of the game. So I could beat the level without much trouble, but I want to get 3 stars on every level.
The game was cool, but it didn't get a hold of me the way it got a hold of you.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that kind of like arcade-y style, 8-bit style game.
Speaking of updated levels, I beat the Thanksgiving level pack from Creeps Tower Defense. I did not manage to get perfect on hard on every one of them.
Yeah, some of those are really tough.
Some of them I just at times, I believe that you can't get a perfect score on hard on some of those.
I
levels.
Do wonder whether he designs whether them with
they,
that in
whether
mind.
Whether they bother trying. Yeah. I listened to, speaking of which, we talked about that with The Binding of Isaac, and it actually was the case. I listened to that Roguelike Radio interview with him where he was like, he did not put anything into the game that he had not beaten, like that he himself was not unable to beat.
Huh.
So.
That's interesting.
Which that was the sense that I got from it, but
yeah, I mean, everything seems like it's
like it's everything is fair.
Yeah,
some stuff is hard as fuck.
Yeah, and some combinations of things are particularly brutal. But
also, still talking about The Binding of Isaac.
Yes,
still play a game every once in a while.
And then the other game that I played was back in July, Matthew Pattimore had gifted me a game because we had talked about how like the story in some games really carried it, even if the mechanics weren't that good. And he was talking about what about a game where the story is absolute crap, but the game mechanics are a lot of fun and that can carry it. And so he wanted me to play My Kingdom for the Princess 2. So I spent a couple hours trying that out, and the story is, so he was absolutely right. The story is god awful. It is one of the worst, like
worse than Creeper World.
Yes, huh. It is. Yeah, it is okay. Terrible. There's not a lot of story, but it is.
But what story there is really bad.
It is really bad. And then they try to use a little bit of narrative to justify a couple other things in the game. And you're just like, just skip all of the story and just go straight to the first level. And the game would be that much better. But I was not very much in love with the game in terms of the mechanics. It was very kind of...
What kind of game is it?
The game is it's effectively a complicated puzzle game. You are basically trying to achieve a certain number of tasks within a time limit on like these little islands, which require gathering resources. And so there are some places that you get resources with little every so often, like time ticks. And there are some just like resources out in the world that you can go and gather. And then there are like paths that branch to like take you to certain sets of things that what you can just gather by yourself, or things that you have to like wait for and stuff like that. And so part of it is just figuring out the right paths to do that. And you start off with one worker who can go and do stuff, and then you can upgrade things to get two workers to do things. And then there's a bonus bar on the bottom that like, as it fills up, you get access to different bonuses, which could be an extra worker or more resources gathered with any particular gathering, that kind of thing. And, it's a very complicated logic puzzle that requires your sort of full attention. The levels last a really long time, like 20 or 30 minutes sometimes on the hard ones. And if you screw up, you go through the whole thing before you realize that you're going to run out of time. So that was my one complaint is you could spend 20 minutes and it just end up being like, there was one level that I think was 20 minutes long and I was 10 seconds away from getting the like achievement that I wanted to get and had to redo the whole thing because of that. I think if the levels had been designed to be more like 5 minutes each, that I would have been more excited about it. Like the first couple of levels were pretty fun and interesting and short, but then it just got to make it harder. They like started adding more and more complexity on and stuff like that. But that required just adding more and more time. And then there were a couple of really dumb mini games in there that were like, click on these, you know, bugs that are attacking your thing and move this ship around on this like scrolling thing to collect all the coins that are in the water. I'm like, okay, yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to keep playing that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway, buddy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, but
it's a good gift.
I like the idea of a game that the story is bad and the mechanics are good, but
keep trying, everybody. Buy Kevin games with the worst possible story. Pro tip, Kevin already owns Creeper World. I don't think that I've ever played, as far as I know, as far as I can tell, I've never played any game except The Old Republic.
you played some Binding of Isaac the other day. I heard it.
Oh, yeah.
I heard it coming through your door.
What did you hear? What did you hear that you
just
identified?
Just the music. The opening music.
It's pretty good. I can't stop. What I want is to, and I probably could do this, being in these, like, say, 20-minute to one-hour-long login queues for The Old Republic. In a lot of ways, the people who bought early access, people who pre-ordered and got early access to The Old Republic have kind of screwed themselves because the later you got into it, the more likely it was that you would create a character on one of the new servers. They keep opening up new servers, like, every day. And so when I got access, there were maybe, I don't know, there were 15 or 16 servers, probably. And everybody who signed up for a guild on their, like, website, get your guild ready to go, got assigned to one of those beginning servers, one of the launch, like, the first day of pre-order access servers. And so those are the ones with the worst queues.
Oh, jeez, that sucks.
You know, it'll get better.
It'll be fine.
Can you also play characters on other servers?
You can, yeah. Yeah, but I only want to play just like my one character, really. I haven't really wanted to
roll
a bunch of alts, yeah. Because it's like, it's really pretty engaging. Although you could tell that it wasn't in beta anymore, just from the quality of the conversation.
Oh yeah.
little bit of a filter for people who were like, oh, this person is at least not so socially awkward that they've never met anyone who works for a video game company or whatever. We were having a discussion in chat. In which somebody said something about liking the Trooper story, and I said, oh yeah, yeah, the Trooper story is really good. And then somebody else replied, it's all good, you faggots. only, I don't think they were actually being homophobic, because they spelled it F-A-G-G-E-T-S, which I think is a different, yeah, that's probably like, some sort of, it's like a Mandalorian epithet. Insult.
Yeah.
You know, meaning non-hunter.
So I saw you hanging out with some banthas.
Yeah, we saw some banthas. Man, I went out to the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I grouped up. I was like, hold on, guys. I need to write my 10-year-old self a letter about this so that he can shit my pants. And I was like, hold on, guys. I need to go put on a different pair of pants. My time trousers are...
That's awesome.
Full of a load. Yeah, I jumped into it to see what would happen, and you die. and it was like, what you do, what happens, it's like it, the bottom of the pit, because they don't, there's no way to get up out of it, they just made it into one of the like exhaustion zones, like in WoW, if you go too far off the map, it's just like, oh, you're exhausted, and then you die and get teleported back. So it turned out to just be like a free teleport back to town if you jump into the Sarlacc pit, and I'm like, oh, that must be where his butt is. And also it's 1,000 years later, and I'm like, everybody, all of the NPCs are dead, and these are their descendants. But no, you find some guys, they're like, oh man, my buddies got thrown into the Sarlacc pit, so they're being digested over thousands of years. And they justify this narratively, apparently, in the extended universe by saying, no, the Sarlacc, what is it called at the bottom of the Sarlacc pit?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the Sarlacc, and it's the pit of Carcoon.
Oh, okay.
It has some sort of enzyme that keeps you alive, literally, while you're being digested over thousands
of
years.
How has that not been harvested and, like...
exactly. Who knows? Maybe it has.
Turned into, like, a fountain of
youth.
But
they don't know. Also, oh, yeah, so here's this thing that lets you live 1,000 years, but we don't know what it looks like or anything. Nobody's ever seen anything except its mouth. Pretty silly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was excited. They're like, oh, our buddies got eaten by the Sarlacc. We want you to go out and drop this poison grenade in there to put them out of their misery. I was like, okay, I will do that. I will go and I will drop a fucking grenade into the mouth of the fucking Sarlacc.
So is it stationary? Does it not move?
Apparently not.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I never...
So how does it... How does it live? Like, is it?
It just it relies on.
It's like an antlion. Just waits for people to walk by and fall in, and
wow. Yeah, or be thrown in by huts.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like in general, yeah, if that's like, if it's developed this like weird symbiotic relationship with the huts to to have like sacrifices. Maybe, you know, maybe volcanoes are also sentient.
Yeah,
beings and really hungry because we haven't been throwing in any virgins lately.
Yeah, they keep trying. They keep trying to put a Republican in the White House, thinking that's the best way to reinstitute
the volcanoes
virgin,
are doing
virgin it? Sacrifice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Volcano pack. You may have
they thought they had a win with the Richard Branson and his Virgin Atlantic, but not so much.
They keep trying to get him to crash planes into the volcanoes. Also, the moon volcanoes are trying to draw him up there too.
Yeah.
So they've had it especially rough the last 50 years or so. Yeah, so there's this bug with the companions where you can't, if you shut off one of their ability, you say like, look, I don't want you to use your stupid fucking harpoon gun ability anymore, where it's like, all right, I get set up behind cover and then I target a guy and I go to shoot him with my sweet smuggler trick shot blaster double action, and then my fucking companion shoots him with a harpoon and pulls him back behind me. Every goddamn fight. So you're like, hey, Corso, stop doing that. Corso, I'm going to click this thing to turn off this little light to make you stop doing your fucking harpoon trick, Corso. Please stop doing your fucking harpoon trick. And then, oh, you mounted and dismounted? That must mean you want me to do my harpoon trick some more. Oh, we went into a room? I better get my harpoon gun ready, because nothing better than this fucking harpoon gun. Which is why I prioritize that over all of my other abilities. Shoot a goddamn harpoon
gun. You can't actually have him unlearn the skill?
No. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it until they fix this fucking bug. And it's just like, the forums are just full of like Corso, you fucking dipshit, stop shooting the goddamn harpoon gun. It's like, I was all excited because I got a new companion, which was like a Wookiee buddy. I was like, yeah, sweet Wookiee buddy.
Does he also have the harpoon?
No, he doesn't. But he has the problem that the melee companions have, which is you tell him, hey, you should go attack this guy. And he sits there for a second. He's like, huh? Oh, you want me to attack? Okay, hold on. Hold on, let me draw my sword. Okay, it's almost set. Okay, and then starts running towards the guy. It's like, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but still.
Significant delay.
Yeah, not nearly as fast as the fucking harpoon gun. Anyway, I got to this new planet. It's weird. They give you a new companion, and then they send you to a new planet where all the quests are really hard, and so you think, oh, it must be that this Wookiee is for shit. I better go back to the dipshit Corso Riggs and get, you know, see if I can remember to turn off his... And you also get a mount, and then you learn, oh, cool, he turns it back on every time you fucking dismount. That's handy.
Do you find it satisfying that you get your, like, interstellar ship before you get your, like, speeder bike?
Yeah, you gotta learn to fly before you can learn to walk, right? I mean...
Sure.
That's okay. Your ship is like your house. It's like a moving... Yeah. It's like a space house. Okay,
do you find it disconcerting that you get your house before you get your bicycle?
Yes. Yeah, but, you know, it's a video game.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's all kinds of... So it turns out that it goes... These little lame speeders, like the little sissy transport that Darth Maul rides on Tatooine in the prequel trilogy, and then you get a speeder bike, and then you get a land speeder. Those are like the basic... Double basic and epic.
Is that mounts. What is the land speeder?
Like
is
Luke's car.
That's like, a, yeah, it's that's like a hovering hover
it's like
car.
A hot rod.
Okay.
There's probably some that are fucking pod racers.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to do that.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, man. They really work a lot of this lore. So one of the coolest things about this is that this is of all of the MMOs I've played that give you the ability to kick dudes in the nuts. This is the one that I'm the most excited about. It is so satisfying to just run up and kick dudes in the nuts.
Have there ever been any other MMOs?
No, I don't think so.
I let you kick, no, kick dudes in the nuts?
Dirty kick is what they call it. Yeah. Dirty kick.
What about, so you fought some huts.
Uh-huh.
What happens when you use that ability on
okay,
hut?
Well, so if you kick a dude in the nuts and he like sort of doubles over and coughs.
Yeah.
You kick a lady in the nuts and she sort of doubles over and coughs. There are these turrets. There are these turrets that are stationary. If you kick one of them in the nuts, it looks so sad. It's like oh, I'm a sad snake. It was weird. It's like down. It's like all downcast for a little while. If you kick a robot in the nuts, it just falls over.
Okay.
Because I think robots aren't designed to, you know, they're that's not where animated they're, to be like nauseated.
That's where their balance center is.
And I think the reason that the turrets do the hangy down head thing is because they needed to do something and they're not animated to fall over because they're stationary. If you kick a Gamorrean in the nuts,
what's a Gamorrean?
Gamorrean, the big pig guys, like the guards from Jabba's palace.
Okay.
If you kick a Gamorrean in the nuts, he also falls down, which has led me to conclude that Gamorreans have robot genitals.
Well, just to clarify, when you're saying turrets, you're not mean like a thing with a gun on it. You're talking about like a race or something?
No, a thing with a gun.
A robot
on it.
Oh, okay. With a
yeah, like it's literally a gun, not like a Turian. Turians are from Mass Effect.
What huts? What happened Jabba to huts?
There have not been any huts that you fight. They're all
really?
They're all NPCs so far. Well, they're not really mobile.
Yeah,
is he doing a hut as a boss?
Yeah,
maybe. The bosses have been weird, largely robots.
Okay,
you know, and or just guys.
I guess if. If they want to have any kind of narrative conceit, robots are a lot easier to rebuild and have you fight again.
So there was a weird thing there with the like little crafting missions and gathering missions that you send your companions on. You don't actually craft anything yourself. You can. No, you can't. Actually, you cannot craft anything yourself. There are things out in the world like I picked like the hacking skill because that just gives you it makes it so you just have more money than you need ever, which is kind of awesome. Like it got to the point where I was the level where I could buy a mount and I had like four times as much money as it cost to get the mount.
Wow.
Which was not ever the case in like a WoW.
Sure.
Right. Only if you had another high level character feeding you money did you have enough money for barely more than it cost to get your skills or whatever. But it tells you what the yield of the mission is going to be. Like it tells you how big of a haul you're going to get, but the ratings are moderate, rich, abundant, and bountiful. And if there's an obvious way to arrange rich, abundant, and bountiful into this one is better than this one, and this one is better than this one, then I can't fucking figure
it out.
Yeah,
that's tough. So you don't know which one's the top, or was that the order?
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, it seems like just a weird decision. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff in the game that it seems like it was problems they ran into with terminology. All of the, like, little item modification things are just skill augmentation 1, skill augmentation 2, skill augmentation 3, skill augmentation 4. Like, and it was like they didn't want it to be confusing, so they made it boring.
Huh.
They have a weird system with gear. There is like the regular, like, normal green, blue, purple gear, which is like better, you know, better quality as you go, that has level requirements and stats on it, right? And then there is orange gear, which is modifiable, and it also has stats and, you know, like a power value for weapons and a defense value for armor or whatever that comes from the mods that are placed in it, which you can take out and replace with other things. And so the goal there was to make it so if you found a really cool looking thing that was orange, you could just keep getting mods and keep putting new mods in it as you leveled up and make it constantly a relevant piece of gear. But the problem with that is that it is almost impossible when you get a mod as a possible quest reward. You can't have the window for getting the quest reward and the window where you're looking at your mods in an item up on the screen at the same time. So you can't get it to, like, when you look at like a barrel for your blaster and you mouse over it, it just compares it. I don't know if it gives you a comparator tooltip. Like, it doesn't compare it to the barrel on your blaster, though. And it's like, I get what they're trying to do, and I sort of appreciate what they're trying to do, because it's like, oh, I found this super, super jaunty shirt in a mission. It was like an orange, quilty-looking long-sleeve shirt with a blue and green striped scarf attached to the shirt, and then like a sort of a lime green crosshatch straps in the middle. Super jaunty. When I walked into the Republic Fleet Space Station, people said,
"Were you walking at a jaunty Rolo, angle?"
Rolo, that is a jaunty shirt you've got. And I said, "Why, thank you. Why, thank you, good sir."
Are you going to choose Tomasi as the last name?
No. Who's that?
Rolo Tomasi?
I don't know who Rolo Tomasi is.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think a rich chocolate candy is going to be my last name.
Okay.
Also, there was a piece of dialogue that I thought was funny. When I went to the woman who was telling me where to go on the next mission, she said, "Your first delivery on this planet is going to be a piece of glaze cake." And I was like, what?
You're delivering a pie.
I'm delivering a piece of cake? But then, no, it turns out that a piece of glaze cake, I looked this up on Wikipedia, saying that something is going to be a piece of glaze cake is like saying it's going to be a piece
cakewalk.
Of cake. Yeah, because glaze cake is like traditional Kashyyyk dessert or something. It's like, Jesus. Oh, okay. Oh, this next one's going to be a piece of space cake. Like, you couldn't have just said a piece of cake? Like, you didn't like, oh, this next space delivery is going to be a space piece of space cake. Like, we're really behind the space eight ball on this one, the eight-dimensional space sphere. Like,
yeah.
And it led me to believe that I had to deliver a piece of cake to a guy on a, and I'm like, well, I mean, it's Alderaan. Like, it's like opulence, right? Like, it's all about like the rich nobles and how you gotta go deal with their petty infighting and the fact that they probably murdered their servants for overglazing their glaze cake. Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Kevin, what's new
in the world?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest news item that happened between now and the show that we did not record 2 weeks ago, or no, the show that we did record 2 weeks ago that would have been on last week's show had we recorded a show, was the sort of Wired article that was like an interview with Miyamoto where he talked about stepping down from Nintendo.
That seems like a non-story.
Well, they denied that he said any such things or had any such plans.
In fact, he cannot speak. And then the camera pans to him and his mouth is just there's no mouth there.
Yeah.
Just a massive skin.
I've been watching, this is getting off track a little bit, but I watched several old Twilight Zone episodes, and I saw that awesome one where they're like, doing surgery on her face to try to
make her look ugly.
Yeah, and they're all the like weird dog face people. And then I watched an episode last night that had Captain Kirk in some sort of old town Iowa thing. It was kind of awesome, actually.
It was actually Captain Kirk.
No, it was William Shatner. But
it was a Star Trek Twilight Zone crossover.
He was super young. It was 1960, William Shatner. Like, super young, and he didn't have any of the, like,
affectations. Did he get in a fight with 1960 Carrie Fisher?
He didn't.
Who was a baby.
I knew he was the one with the gremlin in the airplane one. I didn't know he did other ones, too.
He did.
Oh, yeah, he was the original John Lithgow.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the very first one he did, because I've been watching them from the beginning, was this weird one in this small town where he gets sort of addicted to getting advice from this fortune-telling machine. Hmm. And he's like, his new wife like has to sort of convince him to leave town. It's pretty cool, actually. It was a good episode.
Does it tell him crazy things and then they come true?
They're not so crazy. It's all super vague, but like it fits with things that are happening. And so then he's like,
later on, your shoe's going to come untied and you're going to have to stop on a park bench and tie it.
No, not that specific. Like that. Much, much less specific.
Who do you think makes a better John Lithgow? John Lithgow or William Shatner?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, like, so Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Probably John Lithgow.
Yeah. I think that's undeniable.
Like a dad who was forced to wear some sort of creepy penis harness thing as a kid in, what was that movie?
I don't know.
You know, the one with John Lithgow and the penis harness.
Was that the title? Maybe that was the title.
The one with Liam Neeson where he's the sex doctor. Kinsey.
Kinsey Report?
Yeah. It's got Laura Linney. No, the movie Kinsey. Which is a movie
about the Kinsey.
Yeah. And his dad is played by John Lithgow, and he takes the survey and admits to his son that the reason that he was so screwed up and repressed sexually is because he was forced to wear some sort of anti-masturbation metal penis harness.
Huh.
And was probably beaten with a ruler.
I saw that movie, and I do not remember that. Penis. I do not remember that at all.
No, I mean, you're clearly not as fixated on John Lithgow's penis as I am.
No.
Okay, so John Lithgow in... Third Rock from the Sun.
Your memory for things is...
Third Rock from the Sun was Shatner.
Perhaps unparalleled.
Yeah, wasn't Shatner in Third Rock from the Sun?
Was he?
Yeah, he played like the alien head ruler or something
Okay. Well, so then that would be...
He drank a lot and was an asshole.
That would be weird then if he was both. Because then you'd be like, what? I'm confused. Jane Curtin? Yeah.
Do you think they should make a 30 Rock from the Sun?
I don't know. A 30-something Rock from the Sun? it's got Elliot. That redheaded guy. I don't. What's he been in?
Elliot Ness.
Something recently. Oh, Elliot from E.T. Yeah. So thanks, Miyamoto.
Yeah. So I think the gist of it is that Miyamoto is trying to let younger like designers deal with the like sort of main Nintendo franchises, and he wants to do more sort of like smaller independent type projects, even potentially solo stuff. On a much shorter time scale. He wants to get away from the 5-year time frame projects and do like the...
Well, because he's only got so many more 5-year time frames before he dies, right?
9-month or 12-month kind of time
frame. How old is he?
He's in his 60s. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like... I feel like being in your 60s, you start to look at like, all right, how many 5-year production cycles do I have left? And it's like, wow, not as many as it seemed like.
Well, okay. For those of us not in the know, what projects has he been on?
I mean, he's the lead designer.
He's like the Mario and Zelda, any Nintendo title, anything big.
I don't know. Like, I don't know his direct involvement with a lot of them, but he's been the one who's been in charge.
He's at least been overseeing them. I mean, I think he's tired of not making video games, right? I think he's tired of being the like elder statesman, and he wants to make some video games so we can have more like Pikmin,
the Elder Scrolls statement.
Sweet.
And so then Humble Indie Bundle number 4 came out. I feel like I want to graph when these indie bundles have come out over time, because I feel like they are accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true, but it seems like...
I mean,
like,
there was definitely only like...
There was one for a long time.
Yeah, and then between 3 and 4, it was like a couple months.
I don't know.
Because we bought... I mean, Humble Indie Bundle 3... Wait, no, I'm thinking of that Voxatron debut, which was not actually a bundle.
Okay.
That was not Bundle 3.
So that Humble Indie Bundle 4 is out, and as of the release of this, it'll be, I think, 4 or 5 more days that it's available.
This guy that Rachel and I know. He's like a friend of a friend, did a game in one of the previous indie bundles, and he made a boatload of money off of it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm when I so I bought bundle number four and I gave most of it to the developers.
I left it at the default distribution. I bought it at the
I was not gonna give more to charity than I was to the humble people. Right?
This didn't default to that, I don't think. It was like I don't remember what the distribution was. I wonder if they changed that too. Like it defaulted to what do you want to pay? I don't $25. So okay.
It strikes me as odd that the more expensive your operating system, the less you're willing to give, right? Because it's like Windows users give like on average like $4, and then Mac users give like $7.50, and Linux users give like $11. That's been the average for this bundle at least. And I wonder what that's all about.
Okay, so I think I would go so far. I would try to twist that correlation around and say that the more likely you are to have chosen your own operating system, the more money you're likely to give if you can give whatever you want.
Really?
Can you get it for free?
I think you have to give some minimum amount, but I don't.
At least
I don't
3 cents. 1 cent each to Child's you Play, get, the EFF, and
you get a bonus, additional couple of games if you give above the average, which is like $5.
But that like changes over time?
Yeah, which is great.
Huh, that's interesting.
It's pretty clever, actually.
I wonder if it ever changes in between, like, if you purchase something for $5.01 and that is the one that raises the average to $5.01, do you still get your extra games?
I don't know.
Are they just like, F you, buddy. Stop trying to Price is Right this bitch.
Buddy. yeah, I don't know. It's kind of got to be screwed up by people who give like $15, $20.
The point that I was gonna make though is that a person running Linux is probably not a 9-year-old, right?
Okay.
So, like,
they also, but a 9-year-old doesn't have a credit card.
Well, they can steal their parents' credit card, but they don't want to put much of a charge on it. Right. That's why they only buy porn from discountporn.xxx. Because you can get like a bunch of porn for
$1. Is that discount dash porn or just discount porn?
They bought both of them. Oh. They didn't want somebody else to snap up that gem.
I've been getting a bunch of spam emails for like, I have a website and like there are websites with vaguely similar sounding names that people are trying to sell me. And I'm like, huh. Why are you spamming up my inbox?
NakedKevinPhoto.com.
Yeah. It's news, but I don't know that it means, we don't need to discuss it, is that the Old Republic launched.
Yeah.
That's the out in the world.
Lines out the door. I think it's going to make it. It has been annoying to me that I've seen like multiple stories on gaming news websites about like, yep, they say they're not going free to play. And like, why the fuck was that? Like, why the fuck did anybody even ask them that? Like, there was an interview on Gamma Sutra where it was like, so what do you think about the odds of Star Wars going free to play? And he was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, he was more polite about it than that. But it's like, oh, so you're asking, do you think that we will either get old and unprofitable or fail immediately? No, I don't think so. Here's a question.
Do you consider World of Warcraft free to play? Because it's free to play up to level 20.
I mean, that is a good question.
Right. So, like, I don't really feel like it's a free to play game, but by certain definitions, it is.
Yeah.
Because you could play a bunch of World of Warcraft for free.
I mean, I would argue that that's more consistent with it being an MMO that has a demo.
A demographic?
Yes. A demo phone. One of those things that lets you talk louder.
I see. So the levels 0 to 20 are
just demo. How many levels can you go up to? I mean, what
85 is the cap. Okay. Like, getting from level 1 to 20 in World of Warcraft, you're seeing 1% of what...
That's probably playable by a standard player in like 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's a lot of download for 4 or 5 hours of entertainment.
I don't know how much you actually have to download to be able to play the first parts of it, because I don't know how much of it are the actual engine.
When I downloaded the free client, and it took about a day to download it, and then I played it for a few hours and said I didn't like it.
Yeah.
You should have been a female elf and done a sexy dance on the mailbox. Then everybody gives you golds.
Oh.
Except I don't think they can. I think if you're in the free account, you can't get golds for a sexy mailbox dance.
And then the only other sort of newsworthy thing that I'm aware of, I'm sure there's other things, but I haven't been aware of them. Zynga IPO happened. I think they sold 100 million shares at $10 each, so they made $1 billion. And then the price of the shares immediately dropped to like $9.50.
Well, no, it didn't. I mean, it didn't. It's not like it plummeted. It dropped a little bit.
It dropped to $9.50 in
from
the first
10, yeah.
Day.
Sure. But I mean, okay. that's not crazy, right?
Usually stocks go up when there's an IPO, right? So it was
do I look like a guy that knows anything about a market?
It was disconcerting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's fine. There's a lot of valuation. A lot of Zynga's valuation is based on stuff that they have not put out yet, right? Future games.
A lot of Zynga's survivability
is
based.
There was a fascinating little chart that was like Zynga's like valuation, and it was like 45% new games, 25% Texas Hold'em, and then like less than 5% for any of the things that I would recognize, like Farmville or Cityville or
Words with Friends. Yeah. that they have now added monetized. Microtransaction fucking cheating to.
Yeah.
Oh my God. When I was playing Words with Friends, if I thought somebody was cheating, I would ask them and they would almost always admit it. And then I was just like, all right, fuck you. And I would just quit the game. Cause like, fuck that.
Huh.
Not like if I wanted, I could write a script that played a perfect game of fucking Scrabble and play Scrabble against it. But I don't want to do that because that isn't interesting. That's like not a, you know, like I'm not playing Scrabble anymore. I'm like playing.
I think the demographic that would play that game wouldn't be inclined to cheat. That surprises me that they would even introduce something like that.
I mean,
that.
When you are playing an anonymous person, I feel like you're more,
no, but it's
more
not
likely.
Supposed to be. It's not words with anonymous strangers on the internet that you don't mind cheating on. It's like words with your girlfriend. Cheating at Words with Friends with your girlfriend is like cheating on your girlfriend. It's the same. You might as well be playing chlamydia as every word.
Well, I mean, it seems to me like the kind of person that plays that or Scrabble or whatever are playing it because they're trying to challenge themselves, not because they want to.
Yeah, generally, I think that's true. But I mean, you definitely run into people that use, I mean, there are like, you know, there are websites that you can go to and like play the board and then, you know, like write up what the board is and then tell them what tiles you have and it'll just tell you the best word to play.
Hmm.
And it's like, for a while, I played Bookworm Adventures like that. I just was like, well, let's see what this is going to come up with. And so I just like had Bookworm Adventures, and they try to stop you from doing it. They don't really want you to tab out of Bookworm Adventures, but you can and put everything through the Internet Anagram Server, I Rearrangement Servant. That was a fortuitous coincidence there. Over at wordsmith.org. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, I saw a piece of I saw a news headline on Google News that I can only assume is from some sort of video game wrestling league. It says, "Pro Romney Super Pack Slams Gingrich." So I'm guessing that's like
nice.
Where you eat some power pellets and then slam somebody into a ghost.
Yep, sounds like a plan.
So this week's assignment:
Trine 2.
We actually played for trying 2 weeks.
Yep. Even with that much time, I did not get a chance to finish it because I spent the first week playing it on my old slow ass computer.
It was nauseating. I came in, it was like 3 frames per second.
I got through the little tutorial thing and then gave up halfway through the first level when I was playing it on my old computer.
You didn't even give up because of the frame rate. You gave up because, there's a potion that fell in the water. You can't get it. Yeah.
The physics engine drove me fucking crazy.
I agree.
Were you trying to get 100% of our... No, you didn't even know about the readout. So, what? No. Oh, it drove you crazy because of the actually moving around.
Yeah.
Well, moving around. And I mean, if I saw something that I couldn't get to, I would stay there until I figured out how to get to it. I wasn't necessarily going for 100% because I had no gauge as to if I was getting anywhere near that. But... what were those little hearts? I you know, coming into this as someone who didn't play Trine 1,
they
I don't
refilled
know.
Refilled your health.
Oh, okay.
So they were often between checkpoints, but because it was so easy to...
Yeah, there was checkpoints, like, feet. I didn't...
So, yeah.
I thought it was doing something really cool. No. I didn't know it was... Oh, okay.
Like, there might as well have not been hit points. The checkpoints were so frequent.
Well, so there were a bunch of changes between Trine and Trine 2. They got rid of the mana for the wizard. they, you know, they reset everybody's skills. They change the skill trees a little bit here and there. They, what else did they do that was significant?
Checkpoints brought back all of your dudes.
And all of your health, yeah.
A lot of things. It felt easier to get around as the thief. Like, I remember it being tricky to grapple onto a platform and get on top of the platform in the original Trine, and it was way, way easier in this one.
Huh.
I didn't feel nearly as frustrated playing this one as I did playing the first one.
I discovered what I can only imagine is an exploit that they will eventually want to patch or something, but you can basically get around at will as the wizard by making a box and putting either another box on top of it or putting a platform on top of it and then just levitating the bottom box, because it does not consider you as being on top of the box because there's an object between the two of them.
Yeah.
So then you can just fly as the wizard. So
yeah, which that's clearly not intentional, because then you could just get everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
This game in general is a game about a sweet wizard, and then every once in a while it's like, oh, god damn it, I have to become one of these other characters.
The original Trine I played mostly as the thief.
Yeah, I feel like I played it mostly as the wizard, because I was like mostly wizard and then swapping back to the dude whenever on the rare times when you needed a shield or whatever.
Yeah.
I really liked all of the stuff all of the environmental stuff that they added to this.
There's the water, which was cool. The bouncy mushrooms. There's the leaves. I don't remember how many of any of these things they had analogs to in the original one.
I know that the original Trine was pretty, but I don't remember just being blown away by it.
Yeah,
the
way
that
I was blown away by it. It was incredibly beautiful. Like, and even my wife, who's not super into video games, saw it and was like, wow.
Every
looks really nice.
Every screen was really pretty.
It was magical. Kind of nothing is repeated, you know. And in a way, so I was playing that and I was like, wow, you know, so like I often wonder what it would be like if the art direction from like something like World of Warcraft, where it's like, all right, it's important that this look really cool, was applied to a thing with a much, much higher poly count. Right. And kind of like this, but in this they have the advantage of you only are ever going to see this from like a very limited viewing angle, so yeah. I don't know what it would be like if these guys decided to make an entire world that you could just walk around in freely that look like this.
Flying around as the wizard, you see a lot of their like skyboxing type stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of places where there are just sort of black rectangles that you get up next to because
did you unlock the wizard boxing glove so that you can actually participate in the spy boxing?
No.
Spy boxing matches. You never know. We're playing it right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, trying to.
Yeah.
I got to the end of the seventh level, found a puzzle that I couldn't solve. In the process of trying to solve it, got stuck in the world geometry, was like, I restarted the level. I saw how far and annoying a path I had to get back to where I was, and I was just like, eh.
The length of the levels is significantly disappointing, especially if you're going for 100% completion, because you don't have a good sense of how many of the things you've collected on the way through the level. And if you get to the end, you're not even sure when the level ends the first time.
You can almost always tell when it's going to end, because it's like, the camera angle is starting to change.
There might
it's
be
like,
some narration.
It looks like I'm starting to go around a corner at the end of this, and there's something to look at over on the right.
On the very first level, like the tutorial kind of thing, I was climbing the top of that to the top of that tower, and I saw the last experience point thing that I needed to gather for the level, and then it just sort of swung me into the ending zone, and the level ended, and I had to go through the entire level again just to get that one fucking little experience thing.
Kevin, you didn't have to.
I did have to. Yeah. And it was on that horrible bullshit slow frame rate thing, so it was super frustrating.
We tried to play co-op today and it just didn't work.
Yeah, we spent a good 15 minutes. Like, I
wouldn't say it was a good 15 minutes.
No,
it was a very frustrating 15 minutes.
I would invite Zach, and then he would invite me, and every time it just said failed to load game.
Yeah, failed to join game. Failed to join game. Did you manage to play it co-op?
I didn't try.
Yeah.
I looked online to see if there were any other online games going on. There were not any.
Huh. Nobody's playing a public trying to game.
Nope.
From what I heard about it, we didn't miss much. It's just like, oh, you're playing Trine, only you can't transform. So this is just like sort of playing either awesome wizard game, shitty thief game, or shitty fighter game.
Are you you're just going through the regular levels. They don't have special levels.
There's no special co-op levels.
That's what I...
What would be awesome, you know, what would be awesome is a trying game where you're just the wizard and there were 1/10 as many goblins or maybe skeletons. You know,
substitute goblins for skeletons.
Trine one was all skeletons and it was better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, I'd rather kill some skeletons. But like if it was more like there were fewer enemies and just more environmental ways to kill, like if killing the enemies was also part of the puzzle aspect of it, but it was just designed for like, you know, just wizard, maybe like Trine Origins, the wizard.
did you upgrade the wizard's ability to pick up dudes?
That was the last skill up that I gave the wizard.
And can you fight them by knocking one into
you can.
The
you can,
yeah, you can throw them into spikes or into the lake or
holding
whatever.
A fire.
Yeah.
Unless they're a salamander, in which case holding them in a fire just makes them smarter.
Stronger. I don't know. Stealthier. What does the thief's stealth ability do?
I don't know.
Okay.
I got it and I never used it. So I'm not exactly sure.
Is it like if I put all the points in wizard and nothing else?
I have like 4 or 5 extra level up points that I've not spent yet.
Because you just don't care.
Yeah. As soon as I got the ability to summon 2 objects and to summon a plank, I was like, I think I'm done.
You know, this is a game that made a flaming sword a thing that I didn't care about. The fuck is that all about?
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
I think it was because of the lack of skeletons.
I'm kind of curious as to how much of the stuff from Trine 1 they expected you to remember going into this one. Just
because you didn't play Trine 1.
Yeah, I didn't play the first one, and it took me a long time to figure out that you could put boxes into the spikes and use them as platforms,
They were never explicit about that. The pipes are new
to Trine 2. That's a completely new, and I thought really cool and fun thing. They don't, so the tooltips, they give you some tooltips that tell you how to do stuff, including the one that tells you how to delete stuff as the wizard.
I was never able to figure out how to delete.
Never figured out how to delete stuff.
It took me a while, but I finally figured out. You hit the Q button, and you just like mouse over the box and hit Q, and it'll make your box go away.
Because if you're holding it up and you hit Q, it rotates it, right?
Like, no, that's A and D.
Oh, I didn't know you could rotate them. That's good to know.
Yeah, that's super handy.
It took me forever with those freaking pipes that I was
beating them against stuff to get them lined up right.
Yeah, I was like mashing them against platforms.
It's like fucking trying to put something on a shelf in Skyrim.
When you're flying, if the thing starts to tilt to one side, you can just rotate it back.
Oh, man, that's good to know.
So cheater.
Yeah.
So cheater. That's weird, because I feel like you couldn't do that in Trine 1.
I believe you could not do that.
Yeah. So it just seems... I mean, this is really easy to say, but like I just have to imagine that if you are telekinesising something and it detects that you're being moved by something, it could just make you go, whoa, 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 and fall off backwards.
Yep.
Right? Like just to... Or lose your telekinesis.
You can't telekinesis stuff while you're in one of those jet streams.
Yeah, that's true. You can't telekinesis anything that you're standing on, like in an environmental object that you're standing on. You can't move, can you? No, because otherwise...
Not directly. You put anything between you and it, though, and it works fine.
It seems like some of the
swinging things, like the big giant logs swamp level or whatever, you could move that while you were standing on it.
Oh, as the wizard.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh. So they might have needed
relaxed
to do something
it.
So that you could do that. Yeah, huh.
Okay.
Because normally, like, as the wizard in the first one, like, the wheeled carts that you could roll, you couldn't do it if you were standing on it.
Oh, yeah, I guess you can, while you're standing on them, you can move them.
You had to bang something, you can bang something else into it. And,
right.
I mean, that was, like, in the first try.
You were super clever with that,
the first one. Like, but figuring out that to get a potion off a high shelf, you didn't have to get to it, you could just make a box and then telekinesis the box up and scrape it off. Yeah. Like, you can't always do that, though. They put them in places where you can't do
it. Yeah.
I did every once in a while have a potion fall into a place where I couldn't get to it and think, oh, man, if I were Kevin, this would really piss me off.
Super annoying.
Luckily, I'm not Kevin.
I think now that I have planks, I might be able to get into the other places that I was having trouble with before. Mm. So our next assignment.
Yeah, part of Humble Bundle 4, Humble Indie Bundle 4.
Is Cave Story Plus.
Yeah, or just Cave Story. I feel like it's the same game, right? It's just some slight updated graphical enhancements. And I've heard good things about Cave Story. Sorry, I've got a little Dutch there. I've never played more than a minute or two of it.
I've never played it, so.
Are you thinking of one of those Japanese dating sims?
Yes. So,
the Seminal Vestibule. That was your mom's nickname in college. Sorry.
It's all
You get to hang out with your mom tomorrow.
Yep.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I got her a big bag of weed.
I'm so glad that she does not listen to these podcasts.
Yeah. I'll get her to start. Cave Story. Cave Story is the assignment. And we're going to do a show next week, right? You guys are both going to be here.
I'm down.
Okay. Down. All right.
I think Riff will be back.
Oh.
So we could do
a four-way.
Four-way.
Yeah. I always wanted to do a four-way with Riff and H.P. Lovecraft. All right. So that's the next assignment. Hey, how about some listener mails?
Sounds like a plan.
Blister Guy wrote in the forums, has anybody played Ascension, Chronicle of the Godslayer? The name may be a little misleading to those of us around here. It's a deck-building game similar to Dominion and made by some old-school Magic the Gathering pros. It's available on iOS 2, which is where I've been playing it anyway. It could make an interesting homework assignment, especially considering that you chaps could play it against each other. Did you ever check that out? I think it was pretty cheap.
Although it
might have only been on the iPad. I played it in Columbus a couple of years ago, the actual card game of it, and it had little chits. You'd get a little pool of things that you were accumulating.
Don't chit in the pool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a chemical that makes it turn purple if you chit in the pool. That's entirely not true. There has never been any such chemical in any pool.
There's the purple.
I don't think that's real. Pool eater.
I'm pretty sure there's a chemical that turns purple.
I don't think that there is. Why would you put that in your pool? Why would anyone put that? Why would anybody be like, oh man, I really want to make it obvious to people that somebody has peed in this pool. There is a chemical in pools that turns brown when you diarrhea into it. And that chemical is water. I have played a little bit of Ascension. Yeah, you know, it's a Dominion-y kind of game.
Okay, so Snope says no. That is not a real thing.
Yeah. It's almost like I told you so. Let's see. Somebody else wrote something in this forum thread.
My aunt tricked me.
Test Striker says, any comments on the death of competitive gaming? Yeah, I'm really sad about it. I read the obituary the other day. It was like, competitive gaming.
I don't understand. 1970
Atari,
I don't understand that question. Like
to 2001.
What was the what was the height of competitive gaming and how did it decline? I just spent in October. I spent several hours watching like high end competitive gaming.
Yeah, but you were at Blizzard. They don't want you to know it died.
Yeah,
I mean it sucks. There used to be like I used to
pots.
Dream. What?
$50,000 a pot.
Oh, that's some expensive.
I know it's
that's some
expensive weed.
Chibi. Is that a word for pot? I don't even think that's a word for pot.
So what are they saying? It like died with Steve Wiebe and Billy Mitchell or something?
They're both still alive. Wait a minute. What are you trying to tell me? Sweet. No, he says the Cybernetic Amateur League died. Oh, the old CAL.
I mean, that's the thing.
That mainstay of competitive.
A league that I've never even heard of. Like there are all kinds of professional gaming leagues, at least for particular games.
Like the PGL.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the PGA, the Professional Gamer Association.
Yeah.
That's what your dad's really into that one.
Yeah.
I hear that Zach Johnson's real famous in the video game world. Fred Levi says, now that Metroid Fusion is up as an ambassador title, and since you've done Metroids 1 and 2 already, and since everybody already knows Metroid 3 is great and we don't need to go over that, I think it's the perfect time to skip straight to Metroid 4 as the next assignment. I actually want to do Super Metroid as an assignment because I've never played it.
Is that considered Metroid 3?
I guess.
That's the Super Nintendo one?
Yeah.
I think it's just called. I played that within the past couple of years and it was a lot of fun.
Still good?
I had it on Super Nintendo. It was great.
Yeah. I never had it. I don't know why I didn't get... There was a period of time where I just didn't play a lot of console games. I owned a Super Nintendo, but I think I like went away to college. Maybe no.
You still don't play a lot of console games.
You're right.
I don't know that that period ended.
Yeah, I really still don't. No, but like the Nintendo 64 existed for a really long time, and I didn't ever have it. Like I was just content to just play computer games, and I didn't.
Yeah, I skipped over that one too.
Even but I eventually got it for Christmas. Like I went to my parents for Christmas, and they were like, "Oh, we heard there was a new Zelda game out, so we got you a Nintendo 64 and this new Zelda game." But
oh wow,
it had been going for a while.
I got one, and I didn't really like any of the games, so I gave it to my grandma. And
give it to your grandma?
My grandma's a serious gamer.
Does she pwn some noobs at GoldenEye?
Oh, man.
We should have her on the show.
She rocks the Mario Brothers like no one else.
Huh. Like original Mario Brothers?
She could hold her own in any Nintendo or even Super Nintendo games. Nice.
Is she proud of your wife for going for a world record?
The world clacks record.
I don't think she knows about that.
Your wife is on her way to getting the world record at clacks. Speaking of which, I saw a weird thing. I went to the movies the other day, and we went to a GameWorks to have a beer after the movie.
Do they still have their classic arcade games at GameWorks? I heard they got rid of them.
What reminded me of it was we were up there, and there was a Mario Brothers cabinet. You can't just put a quarter in it and play it, though. You have to get one of their fucking cards and do that. So that stopped me from actually doing anything with it. But at the tables, I had never seen this before, and this was just one of those like brief moments that made me think, you know, this is the fucking future. You could apparently buy a number of pints of beer of anything that they had on tap, and they would route it to a tap on your table. So you could just pour your own beers. Whoa. And there was an LCD screen on the tap, like on the handle of the tap, to tell you what beer was going to come out when you did it, and a readout of how many pints you were entitled to.
Wow.
And a little drain underneath it. Which, that seems like that's A, really cool, and B, like just such a fucking terrible idea.
I don't understand how that's technically feasible.
It's like weird robot waitress. I mean, well, like, why wouldn't it be technically feasible, right? Like, you know, be sure.
How do you send a packet of liquid?
Be sure and run all the last guy's Bud Light into the toilet before you drink.
That's
your,
what I don't understand.
Whatever.
Like, it's like,
I don't know, man.
They send it in a pneumatic tube, and the tube opens up.
And it was at this ghetto GameWorks. Like, it was just this weird bar technology that I'd never seen.
The one at the mills?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's strange.
Let's see.
What I'm really getting at is they still have the Tron machine.
I don't remember seeing a Tron machine.
Man.
There. Oh, man. And then I had some other emails
on this
thing.
We should just buy
one.
It's like, what, $2,500?
Something like that, yeah.
25, yeah, I think, like, the guy, when I bought my Zybots machine, I said, you know, you don't happen to know anybody that's selling a Tron machine, dude. And he's like, oh, man, you got one of those original, it's in good shape, you're probably going to pay $2,500 for it. Which is crazy, but I'd probably do it. It's fucking Tron. It's one of those games like Zybots that you can't really play on an emulator, right? Because it's not the same.
Well, like, it's got all those crazy controls that you gotta.
It's not even all those. Like, it's one knob and then one joystick. Well,
you got the spinner and then the
joystick
like
and
the
trigger.
Flight stick thing.
Yeah. But there's only one button on the stick. I mean, you can play it in MAME using the mouse left and right as rotate left and right, and the mouse button as a shot, and then, you know, just arrow keys, and that's fine, right? And I mean, I was like, I'm way better at playing it that way than I am at playing it in the arcade, but it's just not the same. It's not as fun, you know. I remember once as a kid going to this like sheriff's conference. My dad was a sheriff of the county that we lived in Illinois. And every year he would go to the Illinois Sheriff's Association conference. And they always had like stuff for the kids. I mean, like we did it in Chicago once, and there were all these like museum tours and stuff. And so, but one year it was at a hotel that had a pretty good arcade in it. That was like right next to the pool. And so I could always get my mom to go down to the pool, and I just hung out in the arcade. And they had a Tron machine that gave you 9 credits per quarter. And that was like, all right, I don't need to go anywhere else for the rest of this week. They also had a, what was the name? Whizzer? It was a word that was kind of like wizard, but.
Wizorb?
No, it wasn't Wizorb, and it wasn't Wizard of War. It was, I can't think of the name. It was this weird arcade game that was in that sort of early, you remember the Willow arcade game?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Wardner. Okay, the name of this game was Wardner. Wardner.
Okay.
And you were just like this wizard guy. It was a platformer. The Willow game was cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was a real quarter muncher.
Yeah, it seemed like it had a lot of depth, but going back and playing it now, it's not. There's not that much going on. It's just that the graphics were pretty good. Mm. It was like the graphics for this really brief moment outstripped gameplay in arcade games, where it appeared that there was a lot more depth than there was. Like, it seemed like, wow, this is like, whereas like, Super Metroid is a.
Would you consider like Space Ace in that kind of?
Well,
no. That was like a weird branch that didn't really go anywhere.
Okay.
And didn't really have any antecedents either. Like it was a kind of a one-off tech, the Laserdisc stuff. I guess it's hard for me to think of an example. Like, there wasn't, you expected there to be a lot more going on with it than there was, because it like made that like sort of 16-bit graphics jump. Whereas like the difference in gameplay between Metroid 1 and Super Metroid is pretty significant. There was a lot more to Super Metroid than regular Metroid.
But there was a lot more to Metroid 2 than Metroid, and they stepped backwards in terms of capabilities.
Sure. But it was like, there was a time when there were games that looked like Super Metroid but played like Metroid.
I see.
There were a lot of arcade games that you're like, oh, this looks really good. Like the Journey game. For instance. Not much going on graphically. Anyway, yeah. So that was that Sheriff's Association concert. Concert. Yeah. That was my story. Every story is a concert. The music is in my heart. Isaac Pachiga writes, question one. What is your favorite way to play games? In my underwear.
Naked, yeah.
For example, I enjoy making my RPG characters high strength, low int, and high unarmed, constantly resorting to violence. I like hitting a skeleton with a sword. I'll play a guy with a sword, and I will use that sword to hit a skeleton.
I've been thinking about this. Like, I've watched a bunch of different people play Skyrim with very different styles. Like, Riff is all about stealth. He one-shotted a dragon the other day because he was able to sneak up in behind one. And then there's, like...
See, whereas I'm just like, dragon, what's up? And I stand there, and sometimes I don't even hold up my shield. I'm like, whatever. If I hold up my shield, I hit you with my sword less.
Then there's like the full mage thing. There's the like the battle mage.
Full mage jacket.
Half sword, half spells. And I don't even know what I want to do in that game. That's like super. What I want to do is be able to master every possible.
You can.
Every possible way of playing.
You can. I mean, I've started leveling up my magic stuff just because it's like, yeah, I don't need my shield anymore, really, because I'm going places and not really in any danger. So why not set stuff on fire?
Yeah.
I enjoy a lot less, though, the second tier of spells where you actually have to hold it down for a while and then let go to like shoot a fireball.
Right.
Instead of just being able to hold it down and shoot some torch.
What about the, can't you just shoot lightning bolts?
Yes. And but that's another low level. So I think all of the like channeled ones that you can just do indefinitely are like tier one and tier three. In the middle, there's all these ones that are like, I don't know if there's like a lightning one in that.
That's what I'm wondering, is maybe there is no. In that tier.
Maybe it's just like a lightning.
Two-handed lightning.
Lightning clod.
Maybe it's you hold out your arms and you get some sort of weird Jacob's ladder thing that shoots out.
And then your son throws you in a hole.
Yeah.
Turns out there wasn't any good in you. Anyway, then he has a second question. That second question being question two. EverQuest 2 has just gone free to play. Any opinions on this or on EverQuest itself, really? Machinus 9.
Does that mean that it has failed or been commercially unsuccessful?
I think that EverQuest 2... I mean, it certainly was not a success.
Well, here's a question.
It launched with World of Warcraft.
Dungeons and Dragons, I don't know if it was successful or not. I don't know if it was paying the bills or not. They went free to play and made a bunch of money.
Lord of the Rings Online, I think, did a similar thing.
Yeah, so I think they also went free to play and also increased their profits. So are these places doing okay, but they're like, clearly free to play is where we should go to make more money? Or are they like, this is our last ditch effort to stay afloat? And I don't know that it's obvious what the motivations are for these companies to do
this. I think if an MMO fails because it overreaches itself, right? Lord of the Rings Online, I think,
Because it reach arounds itself?
Yeah. If an MMO gives itself a reach around. Lord of the Rings Online was always going to be niche because they were beholden to the source material, right? So they were like, there's only three wizards, so you can't be a fucking wizard.
Yeah.
Right. But we're going to make up some shit so that you can throw fire. Like, oh, the spellcaster class is actually setting a piece of wood on fire and throwing it at a goblin.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. The lengths that they went to make that into a game, even though it was, it was part of the terms of the license, right? Like, I feel like Tolkien's estate is kind of a dick, collectively.
That is fascinating because that is, one of the fundaments of the genre, and for them to not let you play a wizard.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
Well, I mean, you know, Star Wars Galaxies didn't really let you play a Jedi, right? And you see how well that worked out.
Right. But I mean, clearly the Old Republic does, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the Old Republic.
I know.
That's when everyone was a Jedi.
Sure.
There were literally 400 Jedis for every person who was not a Jedi back in those days. It was nuts. It was nuts. You couldn't, like, people, like, the most common cause of death was just stumbling into somebody else's lightsaber.
that would ruin my day.
Yeah.
Although...
That's why they outlawed lightsabers in Japan. It's not because they were bad for your health, but it was because little kids' heads just kept getting
wounds,
cut off.
wounds instantly cauterized.
There was somebody was having an argument about that the other day. I read a thing on the internet about somebody having an argument about whether, oh no, it was in that Tom Bissell book. Actually, he was talking about, and mind you, this is the kind of guy that I saw have an argument with somebody about whether a lightsaber wound was self-cauterizing or not.
I was watching a fair number of Star Wars clips this past week for some artwork I was doing.
For work.
And the very first time you see a lightsaber light up, it is two-dimensional. When he rotates the blade, you see it from the flat side to the thin side and back.
Huh.
And I don't know that I have ever seen that in any other point.
Is it like that in the special edition?
I don't know. I don't know if this was special edition. I don't know. I don't know what the, it just seems like it's always it seems like it's a round beam that's solid, sort of like a staff almost, yeah, instead of a sword. But in that one, it actually looked like it had a blade side and a flat side. And I don't know what difference that would make in terms of getting hit, because you just burn through, right? But yeah, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, I always thought of it as being just like a line, and what you're seeing is the light coming off of it.
Oh,
right.
Interesting.
As opposed to the glow is not the blade. The glow is a result of the blade. But who knows?
So you thought it was more like a laser?
It's probably unnecessary to actually explain it at that level of detail.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But everybody has, because that's what people do. That's what the nerds do with their properties. Hey, Star Trooper, get off my property. Were you there for that?
I was not present. No.
Crazy homeless guy walking around Gen Con, just saying that to everybody. Hey, Star Trooper, get off my property. I was like, you've been saying that for a block, and I know that you don't own this entire block. Unless your name is Hobo Hilton. So EverQuest was the first MMO that I ever played any of, and I got to the point where you couldn't solo it anymore, and I was just like, yeah, I don't have time for this.
I saw an article by somebody who's playing the Old Republic, basically, solo. And they said, totally playable as a solo.
Yeah, it is totally doable. So I haven't been. I've been going out of my way to do as much group stuff as I can, because there are people in the starting zones now. It may be the case that this will never be as populated as it is now. So if anybody says, looking for group for this, and I have that quest, I'm like, yep, I'm in. Like, I ran the same Flashpoint instance thing twice in a row last night, just because I was like, yeah, why not? Just do it. And then the second time I explained all the fights to everybody, and it was like, cool.
Nice.
I'm perpetuating some knowledge, because those guys are probably more serious players than I am. I don't know why I assume that about everybody. But somebody taught me these fights, and now I'm teaching you.
Word of mouth.
Yep. Fights are, they're easy.
Good.
The dungeons are pretty easy.
That's probably for the best.
It's, it's like this thing gets harder if you don't do the right thing, but in general, you could probably just, I got to one storyline quest that was no longer just sort of unload as much damage as you can into a guy. You had to kind of think about it. Otherwise you just get killed over and over again, which was pretty cool. But I had to go to the forum, so I'm like, am I just way underleveled for this, or what the fuck? And they're like, no, do it this way. I'm like, oh. First, step one, turn off Corso's fucking harpoon bullshit. Did you guys ever play EverQuest or EverQuest 2?
No.
Nope.
I bought and played EverQuest 2 for a month, maybe. I didn't play it for a month. I bought it, subscribed for a month, and played it for probably 6 hours. And it seemed, it was okay. It didn't look as good as World of Warcraft. It was higher poly count, but... it was more realistic, boring world. It had some things that I thought were interesting. The collectibles. There were just fixed points in the world that had these little sparkles. And if it was on a beach, interacting with the sparkle would give you a seashell. And if it was a seashell you didn't have, you could add it into your seashells collection or whatever. Which I thought was kind of interesting. It's a way for them to add a bunch of shit for people to do without having to add much content, because really it's right. just a bunch of icons and a bunch of like fixed points that in they choose space. In the geometry. Yeah. The world was not very, it was not very clear to me where anything was or what was going on. Like, it was one of those things where I feel like they were like, all right, well, if this was actually a fantasy world, how would it be laid out? As opposed to, if I were a person having a fantasy adventure, what would I see? Right. So it had very much that like, oh, I've gone into this big city and I have no idea what the fuck is going on or where to go, because it's like, you know, if you just wander aimlessly into a city in the real world, it's like, huh. So I heard there was a really good restaurant in this city of Chicago, and here I am at the outskirts of Chicago. Like, that isn't fun, you know? So that's not the aspects of reality that you should probably mirror in your game. I never did find that restaurant. Sucked. Yeah, you know, maybe EverQuest 2 going free to play will be good for it. Who knows? One of the blogs that I read, the guy plays a lot of EverQuest 2, and every once in a while he talks about stuff, getting his new epic items or whatever. He also talks about that stuff in Lord of the Rings Online, and it's like, yeah, I don't care about a lot of this stuff. I don't really care when he writes about it in World of Warcraft either, but, you know.
I am curious. I'd love to see what the U.S. World of Warcraft player base looks like this opening week of Star Wars Old Republic.
Yeah.
I'd just love to see if their numbers drop significantly or not.
I mean, it depends on, and like, what does that mean, I guess, is the...
No, I'm not, I wouldn't necessarily draw any conclusions. I just want to know whether, like, a million people stop playing WoW this week to play Old Republic.
Suddenly silenced.
Yeah.
That would have been, if I had said anything, if I had literally said any words instead of just suddenly and then a pause,
yeah,
then that might have been a Star Wars joke.
Yeah.
I watched a video of the end of, I watched the video of somebody getting disconnected from Star Wars Galaxies. As far as I know, they said it was the end, but I don't know. This is the end, this video that they posted of when their internet got turned off because they didn't pay the bill. Well, there sure were a lot of people standing in front of the cantina on Tatooine.
How did they post the video if it shows them being disconnected?
Not disconnected from YouTube. This is a video of me trying to upload a video to YouTube and failing. This is getting really meta, guys. Frans van Bellen, and you know what? I believe this guy because that sounds like a Dutch name. He says, "Hi. Being Dutch, I can assure you the guy with the weird voice in Skyrim can't possibly be Dutch. A Dutch person speaking English doesn't sound anything like that. A Dutch person speaking any language other than Dutch just sounds like someone speaking Dutch very slowly and very loudly." Cool. So we're back to him being retarded and me not having offended an entire population of people. Well, an entire nationality.
Not accurately offended, at least.
Yeah, I'm sure. People can get offended about anything. If somebody wanted to get offended by us, Kevin, how would they go about doing that?
Well, just listen to our podcast, mostly, I think would probably help.
Available online at videogameshotdog.com.
Yeah, or video.hotdog.net.com. I don't even know.
Sure.
You could tweet us at VGHotDog. You could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. Or you could check out our forums, which is accessible on the aforementioned videogameshotdog.com.
If you tried to sign up for the Video Games Hot Dog forums before and were put off by the fucking ridiculous bullshit that you had to do to sign up for a forums account, I'm sorry. I looked at those today for the first time, and I cannot fucking believe that got past me.
You
have a very laissez-faire management style.
You did not make a new forum account anytime in the past couple of years, so why would you have... Why would you have seen that, right?
Like, I would just like to think that I set a better example than that for the people under my command.
Something I noticed is that we don't actually have that many Twitter followers. So you should follow us on the Twitter.
At VG Hot Dog, we say almost nothing, ever.
Yeah, we definitely won't flood your thing.
Really, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I'm like, why should I even bother saying anything if nobody's going to see it?
Yeah.
Why should I even bother pushing this tree
down? The more people
that
follow us, the more times we'll tweet interesting video game anecdotes.
Yep. Yeah. Or song lyrics with words replaced with the words earwax vagina.
For the fuck's sake.
That was a thing that happened on our old Twitter. And that's when we stopped letting Riff use the Twitter. Wes, if somebody wanted to look at your, do you have a website where people can look at your stuff?
Yeah, I have a website, art project kind of thing called companystate.com.
Companystate.com.
Yep.
All right. And someday, soon, I hope to fuck, people will be able to see the fine work you've been doing for us on Word Realms.
I hope so.
You're a freaking awesome animator.
Thank you.
All right. I guess that'll do it. Wait, am I forgetting something about how we end the show?
I don't think so. Do we have a stinger?
It's not until April Fool's.
Oh, okay.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Good night.